and allowed me to baptize him in some pretty cold water. Hallelujah. It was great. We did everything right. I mean, we did that. We put the water in. We put the heaters in. Everything was going great until Sunday morning when we came in the building and the tank was nearly all drained. So in that case, we only had one thing to do, and that is refill it and pray for the best. And Jonathan, when you want to get baptized, you just want to get baptized. And Jonathan endured the chill of the baptismal. Let me just say it that way. And he followed the Lord in obedience in the waters of baptism. And so, Jonathan, come on up here, buddy. I've got a certificate that I want to give you for your obedience. Proud of you, young man. It must have been really cold. He's still wearing his beanie. Oh, glory to God, man. Well, it is really good to be here this morning. It is good to be among believers of like precious faith. It's good to come to with family and with friends and celebrate the birth of our Savior. We've all come from different aspects of life into this place. Some of us have fought different battles than others have fought this week. And in our men's thing on Friday night, we started a new leg. Let me just say it that way: a new leg of what our men are doing. And I feel like my job as the pastor is to provoke and to challenge. And so we walked through this last book, and it was tough. Sometimes it's one thing to walk through a meadow. It's another thing to climb a hill. Amen. And both of them will get you someplace. But the reality is sometimes to get where God wants us to be, the climb, the walk is difficult. And this first thing that we did, this book that we went through, was challenging. But what it did was it began to bring a unity and a camaraderie in the men of our church. And I feel like since that's done, now the Lord's taking another step in what He wants us to do. And so the men's group on Friday nights is beginning to walk through another book called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. And it is a challenging book. It talks about Benaiah, who fought this lion, killed the lion in a pit on a snowy day. And the outcome of that, and he became the commander-in-chief at the end of the as he walked through the process, he literally became the commander-in-chief of all of Israel's army. He was part of David's bodyguards and those kinds of things. I mean, the story is a great story, but it's challenging. And I want to challenge every man in this place to be at Bob's house in 3 weeks. I will remind you again, I promise. But come expecting. At the end of that, on Friday night, I spent a few really good minutes with Rich, praying together and sharing battles and difficulties. And I tell you what, man, the enemy hates you. He really does. And he really wants to do everything that he can to stop us from being who God's called us to be. But man, I don't know who this is even for today, but you're fighting battles. You're facing things in your life that will take you down a path that God never intended for you to go down. But the enemy knows that if he can get you to go down that path, he's got you to beat. But I want you to know that there's another path. There's another path. If you'll stay hard and fast on that path, the Lord will bring you through it. I want to talk to you this morning about the birth. Message titled, The Birth. Father, I just pray today, God, that You would anoint me to preach Your Word. Not just to tell the Christmas story, but to preach the Word behind the story of Jesus' birth. And Father, I just pray that every heart would be open. God, that every mind would be open. Every spirit would be open to the implanting of the seed of the Word of God into every life in this place. Lord, that not one person would leave here today without being transformed and changed at some degree in their life. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me as I read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I want to talk about the birth of Jesus and the effect that it had on Mary and Joseph, mom and dad. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, it says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the Lord, or by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. God, I pray You add Your blessing to the preaching and the reading of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the fact that Jesus was born to Mary, even though she had not had sex with Joseph, it needed some explaining. Amen? I mean, doesn't that just make sense? I mean, somebody needs to talk to me a bit about that. In this section, Matthew here relates the story behind the birth of Jesus and how all attempts to thwart God's plan go awry when God gets involved. I want you to hear that again. Listen closely. All attempts to thwart God's plan go awry when God gets involved. Listen, that's why I started this message the way that I did, because God wants to, or the devil wants to thwart, he wants to stop, he wants to hamstring, he wants to handicap your walk with the Lord, the call that God has. He'll get husbands and wives to fight with one another. He'll get children to run amok. He'll get, work will go crazy. Amen? All this stuff will come up, and if we allow him to, the enemy will use those things to cause distraction and to cause us to not walk the path that the Lord wants us to walk. We can appreciate God's miraculous working in both Joseph and Mary, and although God's actions were beyond their comprehension, and although they may have faced misunderstandings, and they may have faced questioning looks from those around them, Mary and Joseph willingly followed God's guidance. I mean, just go home and tell your family that you're with child of the Holy Ghost. That's going to go over well. See, they needed some explanation, because when taken at face value, it really sounds immoral. We need to understand that the traditions involved in ancient Jewish marriages, Jesus's mother Mary was pledged, betrothed, to be married to Joseph. First, the two families come together to the union and negotiate the betrothal, which included a price for the bride, which would be paid by the bride's father. Paid to. Kyle, pay attention. Paid to the bride's father. A betrothal. You owe me. Big time. We do things different today, amen? But the betrothal, the payment to the bride's father in the betrothal was because dad is going to lose a worker. And he had to replace that. The price was to compensate the father for a lost worker. And the next thing was the public announcement would be made. And at this point, the couple is now pledged. It's similar to engagement today, with the exception that it's much more binding. At this point, even though the couple are not officially married, their relationship can only be broken through death or divorce. Sexual relations were not yet permitted. The second step lasted for a year. It's during that time that the couple would live separately with their parents. It was a waiting period to demonstrate the bride's purity. If she is found to be pregnant during that time, the marriage could be annulled. Otherwise, the couple would be married and they would begin living together. But because Mary and Joseph were pledged, they had not had sexual relations yet. Yet she is found to be with child. So here we have Mary. She's pledged and pregnant. And Joseph knows this kid's not mine because I've not known her. So it's apparent to everybody around that Mary has been unfaithful, and because of it, it carries a very severe social stigma. According to the civil law of Judaism, Joseph has the right to divorce her. If we want to take it to the next level, the law in Deuteronomy 22, verse 23 and 24, explained that the penalty for unchastity was death by stoning. He could have had her killed. Removing any doubt of Mary's purity, the author of this gospel, Matthew, explains that Mary was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And when the angel announced that she was chosen to be the mother of the promised Messiah, Mary asked the obvious question. How can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, she is reiterating the reality that she's pure as the driven snow, man. She's not slept with anybody. She hasn't done anything wrong. How can this be since I do not know a man? And so the angel, he announces and the amazing answer, and it surprised her, yet reassured her in verse 35 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Isn't that amazing? See, Mary humbly accepted the angel's words. In verse 38 of chapter 1, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." One of the things that we talked about in our men's meeting on Friday night was, what if I went around the room and I just asked the guys, I said, "Hey, what if I said you're preaching Sunday? What are you going to do?" Hey, it got quiet in that place. What are you preaching on, Mike? Because, see, we're all called to be ready, to be instant, in season and out of season. And we get this idea that being used to minister the gospel is some big, high, lofty kind of a thing. And however serious it really is to be behind this sacred death, it can be as simple as saying, let me tell you what God's done for me. He saved my soul. Man, I was going down a road and the Lord intervened and He changed my life. Maybe He brought a special someone into your life and through them it changed your life. And here you are today and you're just... And maybe what He's done in my life He can do in your life if you'll just simply ask Him. Remember what John... it becomes that simple. But we get freaked out. It scares us to death. And I mean, think of the implications of a virgin girl being pregnant with the Holy Spirit. You're not calling your friends. You're not texting them on the phone. You're not saying, hey, guess what, guys? I'm pregnant by God. Excuse me, bring the crazy buggy over here. Because she needs to get in the thing. Ain't nobody believing that. But yet, Mary declares, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. I can imagine her mind must have been flooded with concern over how's Joseph going to respond to this. Because I know I haven't slept with Joseph. And Joseph knows that he hadn't slept with me. But here I am. What in the world's... He's the love of my life. Well, in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, she chose to trust the Lord. And the Lord took care of Joseph, as we see in the following verses. It is interesting that even the mother of Jesus had to choose. Do you think about that? She said, let it be unto me. I don't know that He was going to force His way on her. Don't shoot me now when I'm preaching good. She made the choice. Verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He didn't want to have to explain all that was going on. He had a decision to make, and it was a difficult decision. He loved Mary. He loved everything about Mary. But man, come on, man, she's pregnant, and I didn't do it. It becomes evident that Mary had not explained her visit from the angel to Joseph. What are you sitting down over tea and crumpets and you go, by the way, Joe, the angel showed up and guess what? I'm pregnant. What'd they put in your tea, Mary? You understand the implications there. And so he's a righteous man, and he didn't want to go against God's law because God says she's messed up. But to marry Mary would have been an admission of guilt, and he wasn't guilty. To have a public divorce would have exposed Mary to public disgrace. He loved Mary. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to have public shame come to her. So in his compassion, his compassion wouldn't allow him to expose her to this kind of public humiliation. So he chooses the option to just have a private divorce before two witnesses and just dismiss her quietly. Joseph thought that he had only two options. So many times we feel like we only have two options. Let me tell you something. Joseph began to move forward on his decided course of action, but God intervened. He thought he only had two options, divorce her publicly or dismiss her quietly. But God always has another option. God often shows us that we have more options than we think. Listen, God will always give you a way out. The Bible says, with every temptation, He has made a way of escape. The problem is, we are too attracted to the other trail to stay on the right trail. Because the enemy is very good at putting things along the trail that entice you and I, that are what you and I are looking for. It's what we want. Oh, I've been wanting that all my life, only to find out when we get it, it's a huge letdown. Boy, that sure wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. Listen, if we'll just follow the Lord, God often shows us that we have more options than we think. And although Joseph seemed to be doing the right thing by breaking the engagement, God helped him to make the best decision. We ought to always be seeking the wisdom of God, especially when our decisions affect others. I don't know if you're like me or not, but sometimes I just do things just, I mean, I just, things are just coming my way and I'm making decisions. I don't take time to stop and contemplate and think about how is this going to affect everyone else in my life. What are the ramifications going to be if I follow this thing through? And I'm telling you, I have jumped off the bandwagon and I have followed those stupid things and found out it brings death and destruction in relationships far wider than we ever imagined. As we see in the next verse, the angel's message included telling Joseph what was to come and what he should do. And in fact, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you..." She's talking to Joseph right there. The Lord's talking to Joseph. "And you will bring... you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." See, Mary would give birth to a baby boy. Joseph was going to name the child. Jesus is the Greek form of Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. The name of Jesus, his name identified him as the one who would bring God's promised salvation. And throughout his gospel, Matthew delighted in quoting or alluding to Old Testament scripture to show how Jesus fulfilled it. The importance of the virgin birth cannot be overemphasized. It was a qualifying factor. See, in order for our Redeemer to qualify to pay for our sins and bring salvation, several things must have taken place. To start with, he must be, in one person, fully human, sinless, and fully divine. Isn't that amazing? He had to be in one person, fully human, sinless, and yet fully divine. The virgin birth satisfies all three of these requirements. The only way that he could be born human was to be born of a woman. The only way he could be born sinless was to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the only way that he could have been born deity was to have God as his father. And as a result, his conception was not by natural, but in fact by supernatural means. Luke 1:35 says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Isn't that amazing? See, Gabriel goes on to explain how Mary would become pregnant and yet remain a virgin. And this would indeed be a very special baby, for he will be holy. And Jesus was born without the sin that had entered the world through Adam. He was born holy, just as Adam had been created sinless. See, believers have to be careful not to explain that Jesus was sinless simply because He did not have a human father. To do so would mean that Mary would have been sinless, and she was not. So that Jesus' sinlessness rests not on His miraculous birth to a virgin girl, but on the basis of His position in God. He was the Son of the Most High God. And through the birth of Jesus, God Himself has entered the world in human form. That's why they said, His name shall be called Emmanuel. Because Emmanuel means God with us. Woo! So Jesus was God in the flesh. Literally, God with us. The point was not that Jesus would ever bear the name Emmanuel, but rather His name described His role. And His role was to bring God's presence to you and I. That's what we ought to be thinking about this Christmas season. Not about everything that we got piled under the tree, but the reality is that God sent His Son to die and redeem you and I. And every one of us are guilty of what He came to die for. So Jesus is revealed to us as one divine person with two natures. Divine nature and sinless humanness. As both divine and sinless man, Jesus Christ qualified to serve as a sacrifice for the sins of every person, and as the high priest to intercede for all who come to God. Aren't you glad today that you've got a Savior at the right hand of God making intercession on your behalf and on mine? Aren't you glad that there's a fountain that you and I can drink from and have life everlasting? Aren't you glad that there flowed from Emmanuel's veins the blood that cleanses you and I from all unrighteousness? Are you glad about that today, church? See, Matthew goes on and he closes his gospel with the same promise of God with us because before His ascension, Jesus promised the followers that were with Him, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Listen, church, as ugly as it gets, as much as the enemy wants to provoke you and I, wants to say, hey, you're on your own. You're all alone. He has left you. No, He hasn't. He said, what can separate you from the love of God? Not height or depth or any of those things. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The Old Testament prophecies and the genealogies in the book of Matthew present Jesus' credential for being the King of the world. He was not a military. He was not a political leader as the disciples and everyone around had really originally hoped for. In fact, He was a spiritual king. He could overcome all evil, and He rules in the heart of every person. If we refuse to serve the King faithfully, we are disloyal subjects. We must make Jesus the King of our lives and worship Him as our Savior, our King, and our Lord. As we obey, we have comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is always with us. That word always, it's a weird little word. You know what it means? It literally means all the days. How many of you know that the Lord knows your beginning and your end? He knows all of your days. He knows every day that you'll walk. He said, I will be with you all the days, always. And it refers to the presence of Christ with each believer every moment. He continues to be with you and I today through His Holy Spirit. And this gospel, as this gospel began, so it ends. Emmanuel, God with us. There's no greater gift. There's no greater gift than the reality of knowing that God is with us. There's nothing greater than knowing that should I die today, I will be in the presence of my Lord. I'm not in any hurry whatsoever to die. But I'm not concerned about dying. Because by faith, I'm making heaven my home. Because the gift that was given to me was eternal life. Do we fight? Do we struggle? Do we have battles? Do we face obstacles along the way? Yes. Yes, we do. But if Jesus is true, and I believe He is, if His Word is true, and I believe it is, then my Bible says that He's known me from before the foundations of the earth. Amen? That He has anointed me, that He has appointed my days, that He has created me to be His chosen vessel. He's created you to be His chosen vessel. If you think for one minute that He didn't see the things coming that have come into your life that the enemy has tried to use to dissuade you, to distract you, I'm here to tell you today, church, God already saw it. Every that you and I face, every demon that we face, every battle that we engage in, we are the victors if we will put our trust in the Lord. Amen? My Christmas present to you today is the reality that God is with us. God's with us. If you're here today and you have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never made an on-purpose decision, listen, coming to church won't get you saved. Reading your Bible doesn't make you saved. Being baptized in a pool of water does not make you saved. What makes you saved is believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. That's what saves us. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's a spiritual thing that happens. And if you're here today and heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying, whether you're watching by way of the internet or whether you're in this room today, if you're here and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord," today is your day. Today is Merry Christmas Day for you. What do I do now, Pastor? You kind of pointed me out to some degree. I've never accepted the Lord. What do I do? How do I do that? Well, it's this simple. You simply raise your hand and you acknowledge that Jesus Christ, you're wanting Christ to come into your life. And so if you're here, I'm going to ask you today to be brave and to be bold and to just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. I need to ask Jesus to come into my life. I want this to be the absolute best Christmas I've ever had. And by doing so, I'm giving to Christ my life, my gift to Him." His gift to you is eternal life, salvation, forgiveness of sins. If that's you today, say, "Preacher, that's me. I need to get saved." Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me." Just slip your hand up. I'll pray with you. If you're watching by way of the internet, if you would just type a note there on the screen, we'll pray with you. We'll believe God for you. Maybe you've walked away from the Lord. Maybe the enemy enticed you to go down one of those trails. And before that, you walked with the Lord and you've For years you maybe walked with the Lord. Maybe it was a short-lived thing and the enemy drug off and got you down some other trail and you woke up and this morning you found yourself in church. You're not here by accident. You're here because of a divine appointment with Almighty God. The same God that saved you those years ago. You've walked away from the Lord whatever that looks like for you. Today you say, you know what, preacher? I want to come back into a relationship with Jesus. Do you think He'd have me back? I know He'd have you back. I know this. I know He's never left you. He said in His Word, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Today, if you'll slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll restore you. See, the Bible says this. He says, my sins He'll remember no more forever. When we confess, that's what happens. We give it to God. He said in another place, your sins I'll remove as far as the east is from the west. That's a long, long ways, folks. So if that's you today and you say, preacher, one way or another, I walked away from the Lord, but today I want to come back. I want to recommit, rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. Preacher, that's me. Listen, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, I don't feel good. I've got this ailment or that ailment. And I believe that the Bible's true where it says that by His stripes I'm healed. If you're in this place today and you say, preacher, I need you to follow the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern is that we're to call the elders, that they're to anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and to pray the prayer of faith. And so if that's you today, listen, you found yourself in a Pentecostal church. And I believe wholeheartedly, we had prayer last Sunday and testimonies before church was even over of the healing power of God setting people back in order. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I need prayer, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair, come meet me right here in the front. I will pray with you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Marion, not only are we praying that God completely heal you, but that God protects you on your trip. And that you have a great time with family. That maybe God will bring somebody across your path. And you can tell them about the greatest gift that's ever been given. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Marion. I thank you for her servant's heart. I thank you, God, for her love for you and her love for this church. And I pray, God, that you would heal her from the top of her head to the very soles of her feet. I pray, God, for these hands, Lord, as they are laid upon others in ministry. I pray, God, that your anointing would flow through them. Lord, that lives would be transformed, changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you go before her, Lord, and prepare the way as she goes and visits family. And I pray, God, that you'd bring somebody across her path that she could lead to the saving grace of Almighty God. Maybe in an airplane. Maybe in an airport. Maybe in a taxi cab. I don't know. But God, bring somebody that she can share the love of God with. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. God, I thank you for Michelle. Lord, she's fought battle after battle after battle in her physical body. And Father, your word says, by your stripes she were healed. It's a done deal. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the manifestation of your healing virtue to saturate this body right now. God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. God, everything that does not line up according to the Spirit of God and the Word of God has to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would rise up a new woman, God, that health and wholeness be hers. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Walk in that. Walk in that. Ray? I'm putting my arm around you. God, that you would touch this back. Touch this back, God, from the base of his head to his tailbone. Every vertebrae, every ligament, every disc in there, God. Every nerve. God, I pray you would line them up in the name of Jesus. Line them up in the name of Jesus from top to bottom. God, I pray that if there's an offset in the length of his legs, if his hips are out of cattywampus, Lord, if they're not the way you'd have, I pray, God, you'd bring adjustment. Bring adjustment into this life right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, Dennis. I know your heart is breaking. I know that you feel so alone right now. But God said, and I remind you that God said, I'll never leave you. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. God, I pray that you would just be with Dennis. I pray for healing in his body, healing in his mind, healing in his heart, healing in his spirit. Lord, I pray for divine healing from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over his very life. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for Dennis. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Linda, you're a trooper, girl. You're a trooper. And the enemy might come to you and lie to you and tell you that your days of serving are behind you, that you can just relax and just rest. But that's not the case. That's not the case. You're not used up. God has a purpose and a plan for you and Charlie. Amen. And he's going to begin. I'm believing that he's going to begin to bring strength into your body. Where it's weak, he's going to begin to strengthen. Amen. He's going to begin to bring, I believe, an endurance in you. Amen. To walk this walk. Father, touch her, I pray, right now. God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood over her mind, soul, spirit, body, will, over her very life. God, I pray, God, for those muscles and those joints, God, that give her pain and problems, Lord, that you would heal in the name of Jesus. God, that muscles would be regenerated. God, that atrophy would be gone in the name of Jesus. That life and wholeness would abound in her, Lord. God, that you would fill her mind with fresh thoughts. With fresh thoughts in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for it, Lord. Why did I call you up here? I do.
So before, when we were worshiping God and praying and stuff, I sort of got a quick little snapshot in my mind. And you've all seen these poor little plants that are just about at the end of their rope, and they're just shriveled up and small, and maybe they're crooked and ugly. And if you decide that you want to save this plant, you pour on the fertilizer and the water, and you make sure it's got enough sunlight, and you take care of it and nurture it, and pretty soon it'll start coming back up and growing taller and green, and the bulbs will come out, and eventually they'll bloom and become a beautiful lily or rose or whatever it's supposed to be. And I just feel like God, the Holy Spirit, is like that fertilizer. And when we ask Him to come into our lives and share our life and help us along the way, He pours in the fertilizer and the water and helps us to grow. So sometimes we feel like we're just the ugly little knot, and that, you know, we're not good for anything, or we don't have the talents to do anything. But God knows what He designed you for.
That's right.
And He will come in and fertilize you and teach you and help you to grow and become that beautiful thing that He designed you for.
That's right. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching. Yes, you may. Fuzzy end.
Fuzzy. Every now and again, oh, that is pretty loud up here. Every now and again, I get this kaleidoscope-looking thing in my vision, and it's out here always. Not always, but comes and goes. This morning, I was sitting there, and I just noticed it was a little bit here and there, and it just kept getting worse and worse, and it's mainly my left eye. But so I'm standing up here, and everybody else is getting prayed for, so I'm like, why not?
Right.
And so I got prayed for, and it's gone. And it was.
Thank you, Lord.
A whole bunch. And it's gone. I don't for sure know what that means, but I mean, as far as the kaleidoscope looking thing, but I know Jesus heals.
Amen.
And that's
amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, are they done with the pizza over there? Good Lord. Why don't we ever get a pizza party? I'm just asking. Mike wanted to know. Listen, Wednesday night, I'm putting in a plug for Wednesday night Bible study. If you can be here, you need to be here. It is becoming more and more challenging. And I don't mean that in a way to scare you at all, but God's beginning to do some things in the lives of His people. And Wednesday night, we're line upon line, precept upon precept, learning God's Word. And God's Word itself, I don't have to challenge. God's Word challenges us. Amen? Just want to be here for that. And then have a Merry Christmas. Have a fantastic Christmas. Tell somebody why we're celebrating Christmas and it's not Santa Claus. Amen? I mean, He can be a part of it, but He's not the focal point. Amen? Father, I thank You for this beautiful family that You've brought together here at Harvest Christian Assembly. Whether they're watching by way of the internet or whether they're visiting here with us in this room today, I pray, God, the reason for this season would visit every home. Lord, that Your presence would just permeate and illuminate the darkness. And God, that You would put every demon devil from hell to flight. And I pray, God, that You would give us a time of joyous family gathering around this Christmas season. And I thank You for it. I pray healing on each and every one. I pray provision in every household. And I thank You for every person here. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. And we will see you.